Hey everyone, 372 pages, crew here. Got my man Connor, he's on the line.
Crew, all right, we're a crew.
Isn't
now.
Awful? What if I was that kind of guy that talked that way? I mean, obviously we wouldn't know each other. That's
exactly, yeah. This was the, but if it was a long con where you revealed you were that guy.
Yeah, that would be, man, that'd be a good one. I just started calling you sport and stuff like that.
You ironically establish relationships and cultivate them for decade pluses, and then for no real reason, since no one would ever get wind of it or hear about it. But
very small victory, wouldn't do anything, wouldn't change. Yeah, that'd be weird. But this is normally the Bad Book Podcast, but this is a quarantine mini.
Yeah,
this is something we threatened to do. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is something that I think people do a lot of. Is it like icebreakers, you know, like
right
some sort of get to know the people in your writing seminar class type of thing, or the kids in your on the floor of your dorm room. But I've done it a couple times in my life and thought it'd be a good thing to trot out here.
It is, all right, explain it and we can just get underway.
Sure. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. I'm going to tell three stories apiece. And two of them will be true, unembellished. You know, there's all the details are as accurate as you remember them. And one is a lie, something that did not happen. And you have to, the person can ask questions once you have completed your stories.
Oh, okay. See, I went online and saw the game was played quite differently.
Oh, okay.
Where you just say flat out, like, facts.
Okay.
About yourself.
About yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the game that I saw online. So that is my version.
Okay.
But that's fine.
We'll do it both ways and people can see which one they prefer. I have three sort of like stories that have like a little bit of a point. So they would have to.
All right.
Okay. Well, do you want me to go first or do you want to do your facts?
I'll start with, I have three. They'll be very, very short, obviously, because they're just facts.
Okay.
My sister-in-law has a man's name.
All right.
I had an uncle who was a stock car racer. I have lived in Arizona and Oregon.
All right. Well, I'm going to say, so can I ask questions or just go down the line?
Sure, okay. Sure.
Well, what is the man's name that your sister-in-law has?
It is Amir. Is in her language means... in her culture, because she's from Singapore, she's an Indian from Singapore, and it means prince.
Okay.
So it is unambiguously a man's name.
I was not laughing at the name. I was laughing at your stumbles leading up to revealing what the name is, which makes me suspicious.
Okay.
And two, your dad, your father was a stock car racer, your uncle?
No, my uncle.
Okay. And stock.
I had two Uncle Bobs. One was not a stock car racer. The other Uncle Bob, because it was on the other side, was a stock car racer.
And stock cars are like what you would drive at Indy, or they're not the NASCARs? Sorry,
not NASCAR. No. Stock car, okay. Yes.
This is not the uncle who willed his estate to you?
That is my Uncle Wally, who does not figure on this fact at all.
Okay. And third was you've lived in Arizona and Oregon.
That is correct.
This would come as complete news to me, because I know you've lived in a couple Midwestern states as well as California, but your time in both of those have never been brought up. I don't know if you're considering like a 2-week stay to like do a project as living, but I'm suspicious of that one. But then again, you're probably iocaine powdering me into picking that one. Because you know you've never brought it up.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just giving you facts.
I think the last one is the lie.
That I have lived in Arizona and Oregon.
Yes.
No, the lie is I don't have a stock car racing uncle.
Damn it.
No, my dad moved for a job and when I was young and he stopped in Arizona. We lived there for the summer.
Wow.
And then he went to find work in Oregon because of a brother-in-law or something claimed to have work. So we moved.
Wow, you were the Jodes.
Bought a house there and then the job turned out to be... he was just lying. He fumbled himself into, like, no, I have this business. I really need guys.
He did the Kai Wang Wu-Tang tapes?
He did.
And oh, my God.
Caused my father to move his entire young family out
that
to...
Is that one of your Uncle Bob's, or are they both fake?
I've never met that. Well, I mean, I must have met him, but I don't remember it.
Wow. Yeah. That's next level Costanza-ing.
Yeah, no kid.
I should have asked you the name of those towns. Yeah, exactly. damn it.
So, all right. So that was one.
Okay. I'll just tell you... I'll tell you the three topics, and then you can. I'll elaborate on them. Okay. You can pick which one you want to hear about first.
Okay.
Okay. One is I one time crashed a convention of black cops.
Okay.
I also have a friend who is a NFL quarterback.
All right.
I guess it was. And I exploited a national tragedy for personal gain. I guess you would say profiteered.
Mm, I see that as the most reasonable one. But why don't you start with the crashing a convention.
So,
explain yourself.
So this was during a summer of college, and a friend was living in D.C. before, you know, everyone still lived with their parents at this point in time. She was house-sitting. And I had always heard that the National Zoo, which is free to live by, was a great place to go, like, pre-opening hours before, like, the houses are open, because the animals are actually awake then and doing interesting mm-hmm. things as opposed to sleeping. So I was like, we should do that in the morning. And so I was like, the house was a couple blocks away. And so we said I would go over there, I'd spend the night, and then we'd go to it in the morning. But it was, you know, we were 20, so I brought a bottle of vodka, and we proceeded to get pretty hammered, and we just, like, walked around town. And at some point, it's like, let's try to get up on the roof of one of these hotels. And so we were like, all right, well, we might attract attention if we wander in here. Like, but I was like, no, like, hotels don't care. Like, they have no way of knowing that we're not actually staying here. Like, we'll just act like you belong there, and they'll have no reason to question you. So we walk into this hotel, and immediately we realize that we're the only two white people in the entire building. And we're like, well, this is interesting. And we sort of see the sign that's like, welcome the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement. And I was like, it was like the collar tugging. Like, we could not have picked a scenario where it would be more apparent that we are not guests in this hotel. We're drunk and underage. We've got to get the hell out of here. But we made it up onto the roof.
You did.
Without any cops being alerted to our presence.
Little liquid courage, huh?
I guess
through
so.
Anyway.
It was, yeah, just bubble on through here, and like, what are they going to do?
Right. Okay, so that's story number one.
Yes.
Just go in the order that you told them.
Okay. So the other story is, in college, I had a part-time job cooking for the sorority house that was next door to my senior year house. And I would, you know, just go and sort of, it was like, you know, things would be par cooked, and you'd sort of finish them and cut up the salads and stuff for the girls who lived there. And there were three girls that would come visit me. Everyone else just, you know, wouldn't make eye contact and act like I wasn't there, but three girls were friendly. And one of them, I walked in time into the kitchen one time, and there was just a hulking dude there who she was dating. And, you know, he sort of like hung out during the course of me chopping up the vegetables and stuff. And I went back to my guys, and they were like, oh, that's Matt Schaub. He's the, you know, the UVA quarterback for the football team. And I stopped going to games pretty early on. And so I was like, oh, I assumed that the football team sucked. So I wasn't interested. But they're like, no, he's like, he's going to be an NFL draft. Like, he's going to play. And so the next time I went over there, I was like much more friendly. And he turned out to be a nice guy. And like throughout the semester, they continued dating. And at some point in time, while the burgers were in the oven or whatever, I went outside and tossed the ball with him. And he eventually partied at the house we were at, when we would have our parties, because we would invite the sorority next door. And we ended up like staying in touch via IM in the years where IM was still a thing, as he was drafted by the Falcons and then the Texans, who he played for the Pro Bowl for. And at some point in time, I think it was probably 2005, 6, or 7, he signed a football, and that was the gift, the like reward for our fantasy football league.
Okay. All right. I'm holding judgment. I'm holding, keeping my powder dry until your final story.
Okay. Well, all three of these are pretty much the same period of time, like the last 2 years of college. And so this was probably November, December of 2001. And we were like at my friend's house and, you know, broke, obviously. And we thought about like what we could do to get a meal for free. And so someone suggested like, hey, like they make, you know, coupons that like, you know, they give to like, you know, school kids to sell as like a fundraiser. And so we should just do that. We should print up our own coupons and say like, hey, I got this coupon for free Wendy's. And someone was like, well, it might not work. And so someone said like, why would they have made these coupons? And they were like, all right, we'll print in this time of, you know, national tragedy, please, you know, enjoy one complimentary Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich. And then we put American flag clip art on it. And so we went to the drive-thru and said like, we want a spicy chicken sandwiches. We have these three coupons. And the person sort of like very much looked at these things on printer paper and expressed skepticism. But they called like the manager over or something. And he was like, it's got to be real. It has the American flag on it. So we brought the Wendy's home, and a guy who was the brother of someone we were with absolutely flipped out in terms of what we had done, and thought about trying to take us back. But we were like, we're eating these. We're not returning the food to Wendy's.
All right. I think I've made my decision.
Okay.
I think the third one, you talked about doing it, but never did it. That's my, the other two are true.
Okay. The third one we did. The third one we
oh
we
my God.
I'm not proud of it, but it's something we did. I'll refrain from naming the people we were with, but the second one is not true. I never became friends with the quarterback. I did. He came over to the thing, but I again never spoke to him and certainly never developed a relationship with him and never tossed the ball around outside.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. That again probably might have come up at some point in time. That's kind of cool.
Wow. Oh, well, that's good. You fooled me.
Okay. We both did.
I have two more, but just do these with a no questions.
Okay. Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
My sister and mother have the same birthday.
Okay.
My first car was a Ford Mustang.
Okay.
I played drums in my high school marching band.
God. Two very reasonable seeming things, and one that, again, has never been mentioned. I don't believe that you played drums in the marching band. And I feel like you might have mentioned the same birthday thing before.
The lie is my sister and mother do not have the same birthday. But I did play drums.
Oh, wow. That's never came up.
Well, it's because I'm not proud of it. You see, I went in to play...
So we both have things we weren't proud of. I exploited the greatest tragedy of the 21st century for a free $4 sandwich. And you wore a goofy hat with a plume.
I joined the orchestra because we didn't have a string bass in the orchestra, a double bass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher said, "If you join, I'll buy one of those," because I was just messing around with him. He said, "I have a budget, a certain." So I took him up on his dare, and he bought one. So I learned to play the string bass,
the upright bass, like
the upright bass. Okay. But you have to be in marching band if you're in the orchestra or choir. And so I was just
wait, what do you mean you have to?
Because it happens, you know, only during the warm months. But it's part of the class.
Oh, okay.
So you can't play a string bass in the orchestra, despite that being a joke in a Woody Allen movie. But so he just said, well, I said, well, I can't play in it, so I can't be in the, because I didn't want to, you don't want to be in the marching band. It's the worst thing in the world. So he handed me the drums and said, you got to.
Wow. So like the snare that you strapped to your.
Yep. I was one of those with the big, cotton ball hat on and striding down the street.
Wow. So, any pictures?
Yeah. If there was, you'll never find them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So could you play a drum kit if you had one?
No, I just learned, you know, you learn, what do you call them? What are the patterns? That you just, like, blindly learn these patterns and you just sit in the gym like a moron and just play with the other drummers for hours. And
man,
it's not a thing that I could know.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, I'll rattle off my last one here as long as we're on it.
Sure. We'll
finish this up.
I hope people are playing along at home. We should have. Oh, we can encourage that in the text.
After college, I almost moved to Sweden.
Okay.
My father had no middle name. For a number of years, I was called by the nickname Magic Mike.
God. Now it sounds like you're like sketching out Tom Waits characters.
He had no middle name and was considered moving to Sweden.
That's true.
No middle name seems like it might have come up. It's like, I don't remember. I'm going to say, what was the third one?
For a number of years, I was called by the
Magic
nickname
Mike.
Magic Mike.
Seemed like you could have expressed an interest in magic as a way to be different in high school. I'm going to say that the thing about Sweden is not true.
Hey, there you go.
All right.
I almost moved to Japan, but I did not move to Sweden.
What's the story behind the nickname?
I, as a kid, read a book about Houdini, got hooked on magic, and I bought kits and had little things, and I would put on little shows for my parents' friends, and it delighted their younger children, and so they all called me Magic Mike.
Wow.
Yeah, for years. And then even when I would come back and see my parents' aging friends, Magic Mike. So, long before there was a film.
Yeah. We met a guy who at a friend's like barbecue, like he was a friend's parent's friend, and he did magic, like close-up magic. And then we invited him to Thanksgiving in July one year, and he was sort of the guest of honor. And then probably 6 months later, that movie came out, and he was like, you know, he wore the 30s gangster suit and had, you know, nice facial hair. He was, you know, 60 or whatever. But guessing that put a bit of a hitch in his Google results, probably for people trying to book Southern California magicians.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was good.
Yeah. All right. Well,
there we go.
Fun.
Another one down.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. So long.
Bye.